Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Compliance Week news podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we're going to revisit the subject of new anti-bribery guidelines recently published by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. As regular listeners of these podcasts may recall, we did a previous podcast in January about the arrival of these new OECD guidelines, which are intended to serve as a roadmap for nations around the world to coordinate their anti-bribery laws and enforcement. They have just amended those guidelines again in late February to add fresh context about how to crack down on bribery and corruption. So most recently as well, we have seen the Justice Department has given its blessing to these guidelines. And today we're going to talk about how companies might use the OECD guidance as a blueprint, essentially, to better manage compliance with the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act in this country. Now, talking with us today, joining us is Russ Berland. He is of counsel at the law firm of Stinson, Morrison, and Hecker. And he previously was chief compliance officer for Bearing Point, and so he has given a lot of thought to issues like this. Russ, thank you for taking the time today.
Oh, you're welcome, Matt.
Now, first question here is, we were talking earlier, and you said that the Justice Department's support of the anti-bribery guidance is a valuable breakthrough in the sense that companies will have a better understanding of what an effective FCPA compliance program is. So maybe talk us through that a little bit and why you think companies can hang their hat on the Justice Department's support of these guidelines and what they should be doing here.
Sure. So, you know, for a long time we've been telling companies they need to have good FCPA compliance programs in place, both to keep potential events from occurring and also to have protections should something happen. In essence, they'd have a good story to tell to the Department of Justice to validate why they shouldn't be charged with a crime that one of their employees committed on their behalf. And so when we look at the principles of federal prosecution of business organizations that the DOJ uses to make that decision and look for some kind of guidance as to what needs to be in that program, there's a very strong statement there that says that the Department of Justice has no formulaic requirements regarding corporate compliance programs. So in other words, I can tell a company what I think they should be doing, what others are doing, and what are considered better practices, but I can't tell them what the Department of Justice is going to be looking for when it comes to decide whether they have an effective compliance program when the guidance from the Department of Justice refers to things like whether it's just a paper program or if it's effectively designed, implemented, reviewed, and revised. And so when this came along where we had the good practice guidance on internal controls, ethics, and compliance from the OECD, and their Mark Mendelson, who's the deputy chief for the crime division of the fraud section at the Department of Justice, when he said that these had been fully endorsed by the U.S. government, that really set me thinking that we may actually have something here that I can show someone and say, this is what we have to do. And in looking further in that, you know, there are statements from Secretary of State Clinton recently that the United States fully supports the OECD's anti-corruption agenda. And more interesting to me is that when I look at the deferred prosecution agreements recently entered into by the Department of Justice, that the requirements that are given to those companies that have been caught in some kind of FCPA event that they have to fulfill in order not to be prosecuted are virtually identical to the OECD guidance. You sort of follow the breadcrumbs and realize that Mark has put together really what he considers to be a blueprint of a good FCPA program and may even have used some of his documents that these deferred prosecution agreements as the really one of the primary sources for the OECD guidance. So anyway, I'm just connected lots of dots and came up with the summation that I think we've got a situation where if we follow that guidance, it's going to be difficult for the Department of Justice to say this is an effective program.
So now, assuming that the OECD guidelines are a good goal for anti-bribery compliance, and it sounds like they are, how much work would most U.S. companies then need to do to improve their current FCPA compliance programs to get up to that goal? I mean, because I was under the impression that the guidelines somewhat descended from FCPA compliance principles that, you know, have existed here for a while, but I don't know if that's accurate or not.
For the most part, that's true. But I draw a distinction between what we would hope that companies are doing and what we'd ask them to do and what's really being done.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's take, for example, financial and accounting controls, that there have to be good books and records, making sure there aren't any hidden accounts and such. Well, in a publicly traded company under SOX, they very much have to be doing that. But when you talk to privately held companies, a lot of those same controls aren't in place. So that would be a layer that would need to be added. In the requirements around a senior-level compliance officer, that person would be having to report to the board, having an independent kind of access, and that may not be the case in a lot of organizations. In many places, you'll find that person is sort of buried somewhat down in the organization itself. So there are communication requirements, and you know that not only goes to officers and employees who usually do get that training, but also that has to be communicated to directors. It has to be communicated to agents. So there are additional things in there that may not have be doing people may not be doing on a regular basis. And the OECD requirements do add some other pieces to it. You know, in working with a lot of times European companies' approaches to things, there's a very strong emphasis on leadership, what the leaders are doing and how they're influencing their organization. And I find that reflected in the OECD guidance as well, that there need to be opportunities for advice. They use the phrase of encourage and support, that they're encouraging and providing support to follow the requirements that have been given. And one piece that I am going to highlight here is that the OECD explicitly requires that a company go through a risk assessment to see where their risks are. And that isn't explicitly stated in the Department of Justice remedial measures that they have within their deferred prosecution. But I find that to be one of the most lacking elements in most companies, that there's certainly a lot of discussion about it. There may be some kind of light touches there, but a really robust risk assessment is absolutely necessary to this. And that's one of the things that I would encourage anybody who's looking at their FCPA program to put in place as quickly as possible.
Now, one last question. You had mentioned European nations moments ago, and I wanted to follow up with a question in a related vein. We are seeing other nations looking now to codify their own FCPA-like regimes, and I'm wondering how closely do you expect them to follow these guidelines? And, for example, we're already seeing that Britain is about to adopt a new bribery law that is really going to be even more broader in scope and severe in consequence than the FCPA. And so I'm wondering if compliance with the most severe regime, so to speak, is ultimately going to be the practical reality for most companies out there.
It may be. And again, depending on the nexus that a company has with those more stringent regimes. I mean, we've seen that played out for a decade now in privacy laws between the United States and Europe, and often the companies that are dealing in both spaces are having to conform to the more strenuous standard that is being adhered to in Europe, and now we're seeing the United States catching up with that standard.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the company really does find that they have a nexus with both the UK and the US, and the UK, the bill goes out as people are expecting it will, then, you know, like an element that if you were to bribe a commercial company officer, not a foreign government officer, that could be a crime. Well, that's in the U.S., that might be a crime of fraud, but it's not a violation of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that requires that probably to scale around that more stringent standard.
All right. Well, Russ, you gave us plenty to think about today and covered a lot of ground. So thank you very much. That's all the time we have now, but we really appreciate all your time here.
You're very welcome, Matt.
And again, everybody, that was Russ Berlin of the law firm Stinson, Morrison & Hecker, talking with us about how to improve your FCPA compliance efforts based on new guidance from the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development. That is all for this week's podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you join us again next time.